Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed, and this particular episode of the Force Center podcast feed is the Clone Wars Report. I love rewatching the Clone Wars. I love doing this podcast, but more than anything, I like wondering every week when I say Clone Wars Report if Ken is going to do drums or horns.
Horns, yeah. I've been, you know, doing my Game of Thrones rewatch for Casterly Talk, and you know, I love a good horn with a message.
Yeah, I think, you know, Harry James biopic, Young Man with a Horn, was almost called Horn with a Message. It's very, very close in those titles. Well, here we go into obscure reference town already. You know, the kids are all talking about Harry James. But we are here to talk about the Clone Wars animated series. We're having a great time doing this show. The episode that we are talking about, this particular episode of our podcast, we are talking about the episode of the animated show, Season 2, Episode 9, Grievous Intrigue, written by Ben Edlund, directed by Giancarlo Volpe, who directs a lot of episodes of The Clone Wars, which is great to see. Ken, this episode, we've been trying to do arcs all at once. This episode does continue into the episode we're going to talk about next week, The Deserter. But it's got such a different focus. It made sense to just talk about this one separately from that one.
Yeah, you know, I'm totally with you on that and follow you down that path. And but I was like, wait, I clicked ahead to The Deserter on like Wikipedia, and I was like, I forget that those two are connected. And anyway, so I think this is more than a fair breakup of the arcs.
Yeah, because it's been really fun to watch some. There's like episode arcs like Mortis, like those three episodes. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it will make sense to talk about all those right. together. But then, like, one of my other favorite arcs of the Gathering arc, that, you know, it'll be interesting to see what we want to do when we get there, because it's all of the events are connected, but, you know, there are very, very different adventures within that. So it's really mm-hmm. cool to see the different kinds of ways that the Clone Wars show actually used kind of a serialization. Sometimes the events are serialized and sometimes the themes are, and sometimes both.
Indeed. Indeed.
All right. So let's get into our summary and we'll get into discussing Grievous Intrigue so we can discuss the deserter next week. Here we go. Summary. Mysteriously, but not really, Separatist leader General Grievous is always one step ahead of the Jedi. Grievous uses this secret knowledge to attack and kidnap Jedi Council member Eeth Koth. The vile droid army commander sends a mocking message to the Jedi, hoping to bait them into a trap by displaying Eeth Koth's suffering. Jedi generals Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin Skywalker, and Adi Gallia volunteered to take the hell out of that bait. But Obi-Wan has a plan of his own. He plays on Grievous's hate for him and lures the droid general to his ship while Anakin and Adi successfully rescue Eeth Koth. But in prioritizing the safety of Eeth Koth, Grievous escapes to the surface of Sulukumai with his nemesis Obi-Wan Kenobi in pursuit. Almost everyone lives to fight and, specifically, kill one another another day.
Sorry, I muted myself because I had the sniffles and I had to make sure I unmute for a hearty laugh, sir.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we'll talk about it in canon, but I'm really delighted by that line. It's so nice right at the end of like, well, we, you know, we live to fight another day. And like almost everyone in this episode is specifically not just going to die, but literally kill one another. It's so weird and so great and so awful. All those things. Ken, what was your overall reaction to Grievous Intrigue?
Man, I got to tell you, my friend, this is a highly underrated episode. I think it flies under the radar screen. I'll use all the terms for being an episode not talked about enough. It is just great in terms of action. It's got some big time Clone Warsin' and Star Warsin'. It's something we like. But I got to tell you, man, the focus on Grievous is so simple and direct that once you unlock what this episode is doing and explain it about the character and what it means and what it plugs into Anakin and other stuff, along with some other great Obi-Wan moments, as always, Anakin and Adi Gallia moments. This is just, this is a really important building block for the story and lessons of Anakin and the Clone Wars and what George was doing in that prequel era.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I really, really like this one. It does seem like there's an effort in season two to have some different episodes where, wow, there's not a single lightsaber ignited, not a single blaster shot fired. And then episodes like that Geonosian arc that really dives into the war with, you know, ships and blasters and troops. And it was great to see the big action of like, hey, remember, this is all about, you know, Jedi and lightsabers and Magna Guards with their staffs and commando droids with their horrible blades. So it was great to see that kind of action really, really get a focus in this episode. I totally agree with you. This was a great character study on Grievous with some great compare and contrast between Grievous and the Jedi and Obi-Wan in particular. Mm. It's also really nice to see, you know, as we watch this and chart, you know, what moments where does Anakin get kind of a victory? What moments are bittersweet tragedy where he makes a great choice? What are moments where like, oh, that's a horrible, you know, obvious, you know, idea that he is going to fall that everybody's missing. This right. episode was really nice because we get to see Obi-Wan and Anakin work together and use their different but complementary skill sets actually well.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, that's a great point. I love when the Clone Wars does go back to that final moment they have in Revenge of the Sith before it all goes to hell, where that's kind of the brotherly moment in the movie for me, or, you know, beginning of Revenge of the Sith too. But yeah, I think it backfills that to me when it works really well in the Clone Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is just episode. It's just so great where they're kind of on the same page of like, Anakin's like, oh, Obi-Wan, you'd want to do a sneaky trap playing on people's feelings. Cool. And as a part of that, I just get to rocket forward and do a bunch of dangerous stuff. Great.
Right. Yeah.
It works for both of us. And then I feel like another great meta part of this episode as we watch the whole series is this is an episode reminding you yet again that Anakin and Grievous don't physically see one another until Revenge of the Sith. it's easy to miss because it feels like they're about to see one another. And Grievous even has that line of like, where there's Kenobi, there's always Skywalker. But somehow I never see him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. I've tracked that. And we'll talk later about me tracking the Grievous arms and oopsie.
Yep.
Dives in. Final thing for me on this. This is a 2010 era episode. I think it actually aired on January 1st, right? 2010, which is a double episode. We're just 5 years after Revenge of the Sith, Joseph. And here we have this episode of the show going, did you miss the why of Grievous in episode 3? Are you not getting this show yet? Okay, let's dive in. And I want to say personally, because there's episodes of early Spotlight Star Wars stuff where I've named Grievous a pretty, like, one of my most disappointing Star Wars characters. Great design, this and that. And I felt I always wanted more. And I'll say, you know, look, I still want a bit more of him now in the sense of I just want a book about his backstory or all that kind of stuff. But to look at this episode as we dive in, Joseph, the purpose is of his presence is so intentional from George. It's so clear that I got to tell you, anytime I hear someone making fun of his cough or calling him a waste, which I may have done in the past, I'm going to just point them to this episode and just say, this is part of the tapestry of themes and lessons and purpose that George had at this time. Execution be damned and whatever you might have, but it's all there for a reason. You agree or not, he chose to put it there. And it just highlights that for me.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really great thing to point out. I would still take even more of Grievous. And it does seem like from some of the behind the scenes thing that in the Clone Wars show, there's a little bit of a tap dance going on to preserve some of the things that have been said in the EU or, you know, even the Gennady Tartakovsky show, but still break new ground. So I'd still take even more. I would take a new canon book that's just like, here it is. Here's his backstory. But yeah, mm-hmm. You watch, you know, Lair of Grievous and Grievous Intrigue together. Like, yes, you definitely start to see a very specific character with very specific themes and ideas attached to that hack and cough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. I look forward to diving into all those details. But first, let's talk about the moral of the episode. The literal moral that appears on the screen is for everything you gain, you lose something else. How did this one hit you?
Well, a little bit of a journey. And this is why I love being open and honest about sometimes you might watch an episode. We always try to watch them twice or three times. Sometimes first time. My natural instinct is to look at Kenobi, Anakin, Ahsoka, the Republic, and look at the story from their point of view. And that's not always the case. And it's all usually, again, I'll use that term, the word of the day, tapestry, tapestries. So I looked at this moral. And I was like, wow, this is ominous. It's foreboding. It's kind of difficult to explain to myself and parse out. And then I was like, well, Dan Wilson and Semisonic once sang that every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. So maybe this is about that. And then also you can look at the Republic for every gain they make. Palpatine seems to take something away from them. So I went from that. But then once you kind of really focus and reframe and kind of do the old rack focus, if you're a cinematographer there, and see it as looking at Grievous and analyzing power and analyzing what you sacrifice for any pursuit of that or what you just sacrifice things for or what you sacrifice yourself for. The episode takes on a different meaning and a lot more depth.
Yeah, well said, and thanks for bringing up closing time, right? That's closing time.
Closing time, Minnesota Zone, Semisonic.
Yeah, great song, great band. Yes. For me, I got like three main things out of them, and now I'm going to add four of the lyrics from closing time is something I got out of this. For how it directly applies to this episode, I think it is, yeah, it's really pointing at Grievous, at what his meaning is, that he is an iteration of Vader thematically in a great way, that he thinks he has gained all this power, but he's lost any humanity. And I think he, even though he thinks he has a sense of purpose, it's kind of weak and unclear, I think, even to him. And I think that's what Obi-Wan is poking at. So he's gained power, but he's lost humanity, perspective, goals. He's lost a lot to get all this power. But I also feel like this moral is about the fact that the Jedi have two goals in this episode, and they kind of know it, and they kind of aren't willing to commit one way or the other. Are they trying to rescue Eeth Koth, or are they trying to capture Grievous? And they go back and forth on prioritizing those goals in really interesting, great ways. So those are the two things from the actual episode. And then just is, hey, is this a moral that I need to pin on my own vision board
Yeah.
This is yet another of these, you know, I am in this picture and I don't like it kind of morals for me. It is, I think, a gift and a curse to have lots of interests in life. I think it's, you know, a gift to be interested in lots of different things because they cause you to meet different people and explore things from different perspectives. But then that for everything you gain, you lose something. It's something I've really wrestled with in my life of I want to do too many things. And at what point does am I being, you know, weakening all of them by not losing one of them?
That's interesting. I love that personal reflection that you got out of this. And here it is. It's a Hack and Grievous lightsaber episode, and you're able to look at your parts of your life. Hey, Star Wars, I love it.
Yeah, Star Wars can do that. And you know what? They're morals, and I'm trying to listen to the 12-year-old in me, the 11-year-old, and go, hey, should I be taking that moral?
Well, you also get the positive, you know, for everything, you gain, you lose something. All right. Like, you know, you and your wife made a big move from Minnesota. You stopped seeing Semisonic live in concert and you went out here. And it's a big gain, but a big loss of what you had back there. And you can look at it, all of it and still grow from it. So there you go. I'm going to prop you both up as well.
Well, thank you. I really, really appreciate that. And I look forward to hearing Closing Time again in person someday, hopefully. But for now, let's get back to Star Wars. We've talked around some of the big ideas in this episode, but let's really dive in. What are the big ideas, the big themes? What feels like it's really at stake in this episode to you?
Yeah, I'm glad you... Glad you talked about the Jedi point of view on this one too. I think there's some great stuff in there. I'll start where what I already kind of stated is what are you willing to sacrifice yourself for? So I start with the focus being General Grievous, this great Kalish warrior who gave himself up in the quest for ultimate power. I love that he states in this episode that he doesn't care about the politics. He says it a few times, and I don't even know if he cares about the war. I mean, he does. He just wants to win. Cares about killing Jedi, destruction to prove his power. The great stuff I'm sure we're going to dive into of he has this large army of lifeless droids that are at his beck and call. He has physical strength. I mean, you can't kick him in the shins. We learn that later on. But he's a coughing, wheezing coward. And all of this has made him a fearful creature, good at running. But then I want to discuss later. He might have a certain point of view about that. That's a lie to himself. And then the flip side is, you touched upon it, was what are the Jedi, what are they willing to give up to save their friend? And there's a great Obi-Wan moment coming with that. I'm sure it's on your list. So I love that. I love these two big kind of big competing themes or opposite sides of the coin themes.
I think framing it as sacrifice is really, really interesting, that Grievous has sacrificed some stuff. And the Jedi in this episode just kind of aren't willing to sacrifice Eeth Koth, but then they do sacrifice actually stopping Grievous, which is their, you know, real stated goal, because stopping him means stopping the war, which we've seen, you know, the Jedi be like Luminara Unduli being really, really making almost dangerous bad choices in the great Geonosian brainworm episodes because she really wants to stop the war. So it's got that heightened weight of like, okay, but that's a real big swing to save Eeth Koth. Yeah, but I would love to talk just a little bit about what has Grievous given up? Because for me, one of the big themes of this episode was very, very classic Star Wars, the organic versus the mechanical. And, you know, sometimes that's literal. It is a little bit literal with the, you know, very organic Jedi who can, you know, feel the flow of nature, hear the song of the Force versus the droids who are literally listening to ones and zeros in their head, in theory. But there's also, it's just that idea of the difference between being flowing and rigid, the difference between, you know, a 90-degree angle in the way a tree grows, right? Yeah. That very, very core organic versus mechanical. And I like that is such obviously that's a part of Grievous's story, that something happened to his body and he either on purpose or he thinks he chose it. There's some ambiguity there. But he now is trying to argue that, yes, I want to be this, mechanical monster. And Obi-Wan really raises the argument that the droids in the mechanical are inferior, which tracks for Obi-Wan, who's not a big droid fan. And he has a specific line, when they are having their both lightsaber and philosophical fight, where Obi-Wan says, And all you do is talk all the time. Yep. What does all the talk get you? A futile quest for power, a mutilated body, and your place is Dooku's errand boy. So Obi-Wan's really making that argument of you didn't gain anything. You don't actually have any real power. You've lost your humanity, and you don't even really know what your motivation is. And Kenobi also describes the droid army as an army with no loyalty, no spirit, just programming. And that's a line to me that really pops into making this, you know, a larger discussion beyond just Grievous and his sacrifice about the difference between the organic and the mechanical. And then I feel like it that discussion really pays off with some extremely great but dark comedy with a tactical droid who literally can't hold on to their own mechanical limbs. And the dark comedy of I just need to hit this button on my arm to kill this organic character of Eeth Koth, but it gets hacked off, it gets pushed around, and by the time I pick it up, me, a tactical droid, didn't even realize that I don't have another hand left to hit the button. It's like dark comedy, but it really almost feels like it is paying off what Obi-Wan is saying about the quality of this army that Grievous thinks has given him such great power.
Great funny little sequence, too. Yeah, and I love that quote, an army with no loyalty, no spirit, just programming. What have you to show for all your power? What do you have to gain? It's such about that lie that you can tell yourself, that lie of what you think you're getting. Oh,
yeah, yeah. I definitely want to dive into Grievous's perspective in kind of how he counter-argues with Obi-Wan and what he uses as a counter-argument and whether it's true or not. And part of that for me, like I love that you approach this all as sacrifice. What really resonated with me is looking at Grievous and the Jedi's competing motivations because they're stated fairly clearly in this episode. So I was really affected by looking at it from the frame of hatred on Grievous's side versus compassion on the Jedi's side, because that's, you know, it gets into the mechanics of the actual plot of, you know, Grievous's clear motivation is hatred of the Jedi, and his trap is playing into Jedi compassion. And Kenobi, using his compassion, wants to save Eeth Koth and capture, not kill, Grievous. So he constructs basically the opposite, trap, where he plays on Grievous's hatred towards him. So they both know each other well enough to both have one another's number, and it's basically just this, you know, is my hatred more of a weakness or is your compassion more of a weakness from Grievous's perspective?
Yeah. You know, it's so as we start to connect this into the larger story and even just the perspective of stars, I looked at what you said and back you up 100% on that and framed it as kind of this statement on pride where Obi-Wan knows Grievous has it out for him. So he knows he'll take the bait because Grievous ain't going to let me go. But then Grievous is like one step ahead of him because he knows Kenobi thinks, you know, he has me, and they're just this dueling piano pride bar of just like, who thinks they know each other better. And Obi-Wan, for all as much we love him, you know, has his moments of being very Obi-Wan-ish, say so.
Blinded by his pride sometimes. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I love this is the big Addie Gallia moment where she just confronts Obi-Wan with it. You know, just when they're all hanging there and we got to go get Grievous, and it's like your prideful pursuit of Grievous in this moment, or not even just to put it as prideful, but, you know, you're reasonable. We kind of need to catch or kill Grievous to end this war thought is going to cost all of us our own lives. And yeah. I love it when it boils down to that.
Yeah, no, it is really fascinating that there are moments where all the different Jedi have different opinions about. Should we try to survive? Is that the most important thing or not?
Yes.
Some great stuff there. Yeah, I even wrote down the dueling quotes, basically, between Grievous and Obi-Wan. That Grievous says, your compassionate friends have come to rescue just as I knew they would. He's saying that to Eeth Koth. And then Obi-Wan, talking also not to Grievous, but to his compatriots. The good general and I have a history. I'm sure he'll want to even the score face to face. Like they're even, you know, kind of laying out these plans to their compatriots that are basically like, no. I know Obi-Wan. He loves you too much. And he's like, no. I know Grievous. He hates me too much. So it just really makes it, all about that, that compassion versus hate. And
yeah,
that they both are kind of right because their plans only partially succeed. They both manage to spring their traps, but they don't. Neither of them really get anywhere. You know, Obi-Wan does rescue Eeth Koth, but he doesn't capture Grievous.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to also just follow up on Grievous's motivation, kind of looking at his hate. Right. He says he's got so many great quotes where he is trying to make it clear what his motivation is. Right.
Right.
I love this line of he's called a murderer. And he says, is it murder to rid the galaxy of you Jedi filth? Which is, I would say, not a great argument, but very clear statement.
Yeah.
Also, extra super clear. I only live to see you die. Extremely clear.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Obi-Wan's really, really pressing him on, great, you have power. So what? What are you going to do with it? If you don't care about Dooku's politics, then what are you doing with his power? And Grievous says, building a future where there are no Jedi. So Grievous states again and again that what he wants from all this power is to kill Jedi. That's what's going to make his life complete. But what's really interesting to me about that is there's that part of Layer of Grievous where, you know, the entire plot of Layer of Grievous is basically, you know, all of the fun adventures in season one are Grievous failing, and eventually Dooku and Sidious are going to punish him for that. And they basically lead the Jedi to his lair to test him and punish him. But Dooku specifically tells Grievous that Darth Sidious wants and expects more dead Jedi as a result of the war. So when you connect those dots, it really makes me ask, does Grievous actually want this? Did he have any conflict with the Jedi, or has he just been manipulated into thinking this is what he wants?
Ooh, yeah. Come on, Lucasfilm. Give us that origin book. We need it. We need it. Because we must have all the answers all the time. No, I don't want to cheat and say a little column A, a little column B, but I think it's all part of this lie. This is one of these big themes that I'll keep coming back to of just overall, just this lie of the dark side that they're going to keep selling you. And this, you know, if they're selling you power and for you personally, it's like, here's how you're going to get that power. Maybe you start believing it. I don't know. We haven't had a sit down chat with Mr. Grievous, but you know what I mean? Like and then you can start believing it. If you're told it enough and the carrot's dangled in front of you, you can start believing what you need to do to eat that carrot, I guess.
Yeah, no, I really like looking at it that way. I'm glad you brought that up, that, you know, we're used to analyzing the tortured reality of dark side force users. And, you know, Grievous isn't a force user, but that doesn't mean the tactics don't work on him. Of like, Sidious just needs him to be an instrument of violence and destruction and hate. And he needs a reason to think that he's fighting for something. He's been fighting for Jedi. He has pride in taking their lightsabers. So yeah, just keep pointing him in that direction and make him believe, you know, that he's fighting for something when he's really just fighting ultimately, right? He was never, I mean, if Dooku was not going to get anything out of this, Grievous was never going to personally get anything out of this war, right?
Yeah, would love to have seen him at that business meeting. Dooku's head is cut off. Grievous going, wait.
Yeah, powering down the droid army. What? Yeah. So yeah, great stuff with his hate, and great seeing that he thinks that he's clear on his motivation. And maybe he does. Maybe it is just born from, I was a warrior and Jedi are the greatest challenge ever. But it seems to have taken a step farther of like, you know, that they're morally impure and they deserve to be wiped from the galaxy. You know,
yeah, it could be a little building block of pride there too. You know, I was on this, you know, looked down upon or not picked. Maybe it's a little like Maul, like, you know, I wasn't picked up to be, become a great Jedi warrior. So I became one myself and could have been, not saying that it's right or wrong, but just like that could have been a starting point for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Or yeah, that just if he is always been a warrior of a warrior culture and the Jedi stand against that, you know, that he can, you know, try to twist himself into that belief. But yeah, it's really fun that, you know, Obi-Wan is trying to come at him with this complex argument about, you know, what have you sacrificed? What have you made yourself? Why? What are you really doing it for? And he's like, to kill you. And yeah, that's all the more that he's going to be able to get out of Grievous, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I just love this great contrast of the Jedi's compassion, right? That I think that the episode is constructed to really point us at that. Like, that's just kind of a given that the Jedi are compassionate, or are trying to be for the general state of the galaxy. We know that. But this episode really underlines it by that Grievous knows that they'll be hurt by seeing Eeth Koth suffer. And there's that video that is, or that holo video where Grievous is saying, like, yeah, I know you'll hate to watch him suffer. And that's really reinforced by the fact that there are younglings watching it who need to be sent out of the room because it's so, just seeing that pain is so hurtful. There's also maybe a little bit of an element of a pride issue with the fact that Eeth Koth is a Jedi Council member. Yeah. Did you pick up, did you feel like it was a pride issue, or did you feel it was just a, we can't, you know, bear to see one of our own in pain?
I think a little bit just to see their own in pain. Yeah. I would say that's also pretty, I love that the younglings are there and a certain character I'm waiting for you to just talk about. I'm going to let you have that moment. I kind of like it because it makes it very real, and maybe there's a cost to some of this job you're all taking up and the cloak you put on. So I could see some of that. But pride's running through, you know, pride is a slippery slope sometimes, and I think it can infiltrate in other areas. So, but I'll say a little bit of both, but I think a little more of the pain.
Yeah, yeah. And then, as you said, I think it's just great throughout to show that compassion, those different moments where Anakin really doesn't want to leave Eeth Koth behind. And yeah. That, for me, that had some big, you're going to pay for all the Jedi you killed today energy. You know, that while Anakin is a Jedi, even though he's got frustration with them, they're his teammates, and you don't mess with his teammates. You know, it's more of that, you know, Anakin really pursues things in a straight line. So I really like that. And I think just that Anakin is, at his heart, you know, compassionate. He wants to help and save people until he doesn't.
Until he does.
And then, as you said, there's that great moment where Adi Gallia argues for getting off the ship rather than pursuing Grievous. Mm-hmm. Then Eeth Koth saying at the end, I would have gladly given my life if it meant bringing that monster to justice, which is a really interesting, complex, painful thing to say to a bunch of Jedi who chose to save you over capturing Grievous. And then Anakin puts a nice button on it of, well, at least we all live to fight another day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which he says to Eeth Koth, who he himself will personally kill.
Yes.
In the Vader comic. We'll talk about that. Yeah. So what thoughts do you have about the picture of what Jedi compassion is in this episode?
Well, it's the other flip side. When you know, you do these episodes well, you present a little topic or an argument. You have the two sides to it here. I'm going to two moments of the moments you just described of Adi Gallia saying we got to go. So it's very similar to Indiana Jones' Last Crusade. You know, you want that cup, you're going to fall into the floor as it opens up and swallows you. Let go of it. Let go of those pursuits. And Obi-Wan is reminded of in that moment. The Eeth Koth one we'll put on a shelf here for a second. But there's this moment in this fight where Grievous is kind of told to surrender, right? Great shot of Obi-Wan's blade, the pointy end right in the face of Grievous. Is just a great little angle on it. I love it. And Grievous says never. And I'm not rooting for Grievous here. No, I'm not saying I'm trying to understand him, but I could, in that situation, you know, fight, survive, never give up, never surrender. These are good motivational t-shirts to wear, but it's all part of this big thing about this lie Grievous is selling him. So I think he thinks in his head, like, I'm living to fight another day, but he always keeps running away. And you talk about compassion. What does he do when he runs away? He tosses a droid out. Now it's a droid. It's the ongoing struggle of our poor B1 battle droids and everything. And what are they, B2s by this point? But you know what I mean? Like, So that it flows into that river. There is no compassion for what Grievous is doing. He is not, you know, he is no one else but himself every time he flees. Whereas, you know, with Jedi Master Koth, it's like, hey, like you're leaving, you know, you're surviving another day and it serves a greater purpose. And it serves to save others, to save lives in that moment, to save our lives. That's why. And so, you know, so you have the dueling sides of it and the marble rolling down to compassion is a good way to go.
Yeah, no, I think that's, it's always really fascinating to watch this Jedi storytelling. And I think it's one of the things that makes me enjoy the story of the Jedi is that they walk a difficult path and they sometimes believe in, I have no fear. I am willing to give myself up whenever is necessary. But then sometimes that bumps up against also like this desire to defend and preserve life above all else. You know, we've gotten on Force Center over the years a couple times, the great question, a great conversation of like, well, should Yoda have stopped that big pillar from falling on Anakin and Obi-Wan, or should he have just let him get crushed and put his blade in Dooku's back and ended the war, you know? And and that's, I think, like in that moment, there is always that discussion of when and how do Jedi individually and as in order choose that above all, whenever in doubt, preserve life. Yeah. And this whole episode is really about the Jedi being like, Grievous is awful, and he's just torturing people to cause pain, and he is, you know, throwing it in our faces. We really need to prioritize saying no to that, stopping that. And it's this great picture of compassion, and then this really great moment at the end where Eeth Koth kind of brings up the other side of that debate of, but we are trained to let go, and I would have let go to get to capture Grievous.
Really ties in well with some of the Barriss Offee, Ahsoka conversations, Luminary and Dooley, all the stuff we were talking about in previous episodes. There's this Keepers of the Peace versus Warrior conversation you had brought up in a review, was it just last week? I mean, great stuff of, you know, again, sometimes I love when the answers aren't 100% clear. And Eeth Koth is kind of throwing a little wrench into that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes it a really great, it ties back to that moral, and I think it makes it a really great, really complex story. And I think it doesn't present like an answer. This isn't, I think sometimes an episode of Clone Wars is like pretty didactic and instructive of like, yep, that's where they made a mistake. But a lot of great episodes like this are like, well, I mean, preserving life is pretty great.
Yeah.
And a very noble, wonderful thing. And, you know, it is great that they tried to save poor Eeth Koth, you know?
Totally.
But room for discussion. Any other themes from this episode that you wanted to discuss before we get into kind of how they reflect into bigger Star Wars?
Oh, let's connect and reflect.
All right. So yeah, we always talk about just the ideas of the individual episode, but then how they sometimes reflect larger story, morality, perspective of Star Wars. Sometimes those conversations bleed together. For me, this is always the section where I always like to keep up with the status of the war, the story of the war. Right. And the narrator, I think, once again, told us a lot. The narrator said, though Republic victories outnumber their losses, the Jedi have been unable to stop Separatist advances in the Outer Rim. The ever-elusive General Grievous stays one step ahead of his opponents. So just great information about the war that moves us forward. But what I really like about this is it's a reminder that the, you know, real stated goal of season one was, hey, the Separatists, it's early in the war, the Separatists are going to try to control the Outer Rim, so we're going to try to kick them out of there, and that if they don't have a hold in the Outer Rim, they can't push in and into the core, and that should take care of things.
Right.
And they're just, Palpatine's got it set it up, so they're just grinding in the Outer Rim, and we know the end of the war is the Outer Rim sieges, so it's going to spill out, the war is going to spill out to other places, but they never seem to resolve this first move of the war. And then saying the elusive General Grievous stays one step ahead of his opponents is yet another great reminder that's sprinkled all throughout the Clone Wars of like, yeah, no, Palpatine is totally making this a grind by giving information to the Separatists.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I love that there's this, you've touched upon Obi-Wan as a couple of quotes in recent episodes of just like, this growing concern that might be simmering in, you know, into a nice boiling panic. of almost like, wait a minute, we're Jedi. Like, what's the exact quote in Revenge of Sith when Obi-Wan's like, wait a minute, we're Jedi. How did we fall for this?
We're smarter than this.
Like, you know, like, I just love that. That's part of what's happening in these episodes. I love focusing on the narrator. You're so great to point that out because it's just like the actual war of this Clone War. It's not going well and they can't figure it out. We might know, but they can't figure it out. And that's got to affect those wonderful, perfect Jedi.
Yeah, and I also like that it starts with, though Republic victories outnumber their losses, because this is, for me, pulling a lot from a line, but I like the idea that, yeah, no, the Jedi and the clones are superior to the droid army, even though the droid army has, like, all of these numbers, and on big battles, they usually eventually win and retake the planet, so it is Sidious sort of dealing with the fact that, like, yeah, they are really powerful. So I have to, dwindle their numbers, through Grievous and through, you know, hopefully them, more of them dying on the battlefield. But also that, like, yeah, in a straight fight, they're going to win.
Yeah.
So I have to create all of these just, you know, video game grinding scenarios of like, mm-hmm. you did get that planet, but you got to get it again to level up.
I got to go back here again. We just left Geonosis. In the ongoing saga of weird references Ken works into Star Wars conversations, you know, when the Republic's got these wins, but the losses, aren't above that number, but they're mounting, it's Julia Roberts and Pretty Woman. The bad stuff is easier to believe. You're just going to sit there going, big wins, but that loss is hurting me, and I believe that more than the other.
And well, now I'm just going to wait for that specific quote from that movie to be a moral on an episode of Clone Wars. Just one last thing on this status of the war thing. I liked it in this episode. The Jedi are discussing the intelligence, and Yoda just says straight up, yes, but so often inaccurate our intelligence is.
Love it. I love it.
So clearly a problem there. Any big picture ideas of Star Wars that you feel like were in this episode that we haven't talked about?
The statement on the Pride one's pretty big, and I think just in terms of perspective and some of the Star Wars morality, but touched upon it, but I just want to state it pretty clearly. This episode has a lot to do with that lie of the dark side. And the Sith are peddling that lie, and there is a dividing line where dark side is one thing and Sith comes out of that to me. And that lie, get power at all costs. What's Palpatine want? We know what he ends up screaming that he has or feels he has. And that's all that matters. Going back to your point of what they're selling Grievous at one point, what they're selling Dooku. You know, Dooku's a wonderfully complicated character. What do you really want out of this count? And when people believe in that lie, when the lie becomes a truth to you, dangerous actions follow. And if Grievous bought into the lie, Dooku bought into the lie, and Palpatine certainly has bought into the lie. And it goes to George sitting in that flannel in that conference room talking about greed, and that thirst for greed never ends. And if you believe that and that becomes truth to you, problems are following.
I think that's really, really powerful. I think really well said, that it is this picture of the difference between the Jedi and, you know, Darksiders is if the war stopped, every single Jedi would talk your ear off about why a particular flower on Felucia that was preserved was great, right? And they would talk to you about what great projects that they can instead spend their time and energy on to build. They could describe to you the value of the galaxy at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side is just so empty. The dark side is just so empty to say, I'll control it. And then when I can control it, I'll control more of it. I'll win. And that's it. No, no inherent value in the win.
Yep, absolutely. I'm thinking of Anakin and Padme and the shock date conversations or shack butt conversations. Stuff in there that Anakin is already starting to see it. And there could be some truth that I sometimes, you know, I get it. You know, some conflict might get some sort of peace. But what comes after? That's a great question, Joseph. Just like, what? Great. Great. So you get in a fist fight to solve something. What happens after?
Yeah.
What does your thirst for that blood stop?
Yeah. And I think that another thing that I really liked about this episode is the last thing for me on kind of how this episode reflects bigger things in Star Wars is it's exactly that. This episode is a little micro version of the story of the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. Grievous enjoys the war. He would be perfectly happy if the rest of his life was killing Jedi and amassing power. And on the other side, the Jedi just want this to end with as many lives saved as possible. It is hate versus compassion. And this is the tragedy of the Clone Wars. I think it's why Yoda backs down from his fight with Sidious is at a certain point, if the other side wants war, that's their goal. And all you want is to end it. It becomes very difficult to have that fight.
Mm. I really love what you said of this episode kind of being a boiled down version of the Clone Wars and why I think this is such an underrated episode. It really is. And just some great get on the playground and have some fun Star Wars action.
Absolutely. And on that note, we're going to take a break and then we're going to go to the playground so we can talk about all the great action and fun comedy moments and all that. So we will be right back here on the Clone Wars Report. Music.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, Four Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, Four Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
And we are back to finish our discussion of Grievous Intrigue, a great Clone Wars episode with a ton of action. So, Ken, what were some of your favorite action moments?
Well, sir, I gotta tell you, this is a great opening to an episode here with a big-time opening act lightsaber fight that also, to me, kind of helps reset. It sets for the story, but it resets for us because obviously Revenge of the Sith is 5 years out. It resets Grievous in episode 3 of just like, you know, he's got some skills. He'll hurt you. He'll kill you. And by the way, the Magna Guards are around. And there's little Grievous doesn't necessarily fight with honor, which sometimes I'm okay throwing some dirt in the eye if it gets you a victory. I'll admit to that. But again, it's what the after effect of it is. But Grievous can hold his own. So if you're just kind of watching this, you know, when you meet him, you know, and I get in Revenge of the Sith, going back to our up top conversation, but some of the quote disappointing things about Grievous, big villain. You know, he's kind of a couple shots to the ribs with the blaster, and he's and his heart sac explodes, and you kind of can feel in that Star Wars tradition of cool villain, quick exit. So I just love seeing Grievous be formidable as a fighter, and we've seen that a lot in Clone Wars, but this one, that's a great opening sequence.
Yeah, that Genndy Tartakovsky, Clone Wars back in the day, really built up Grievous is this unstoppable, terrifying Jedi killing monster. And I think, you know, the people I talked to back in the day were like, but then Obi-Wan just shoots him in the heart sack. And for me, it all works. But I totally agree with you that this episode, I think Layer of Grievous does it too, but this episode really does make him seem truly terrifying, right? Like the clones are frightened, and Eeth Koth is like, yeah, no, this is for real a problem, you know. Not he doesn't have just the like, I shall dispatch him with ease. Like he's concerned, and it makes Grievous terrifying again. For me, in that first lightsaber fight, a couple of the action moments, it's really horrible, but they build up the terror of that severed door, and then it comes flying in, and Eeth Koth successfully ducks, but that poor clone behind him doesn't, and just gets creamed by the door.
Yeah,
it's horrible. A lot of clone violence, you know, in this show called The Clone Wars. And then right away, I think some of this this stuff about who Grievous is. I was thinking about it when we were talking about the big themes, and it made me feel like a little bit more like this was a big choice of the show, that Grievous thinks of himself as an unstoppable warrior. He has lots of warrior pride, and maybe part of the reason that he hates Jedi is he prides himself on killing them, and he is formidable, but a lot of times it's because he softens them up with a bunch of other droids, and then if anything goes wrong, he runs away, you know?
Yeah.
And Eeth Koth really calls him out, right, for being a coward.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this cool lightsaber flight. Eeth Koth is on his toes, does a cool lightsaber block behind his back, which I always love.
Yeah.
But by the time he gets beaten down by both Grievous and all of the other droids, and he's trying to stand up to Grievous, and those Magna Guards are just zapping him in the back, it's hard for me to watch that and not just go, Eeth Koth is right. You're a coward, Grievous.
Yeah.
Fight him on your own terms instead of zapping him on the back, you coward.
Yeah. Oh, they love the season one of Game of Thrones, I think it's episode 6, when Jaime Lannister confronts Ned Stark in the streets, and a Lannister spears him in the back. And even Jamie's kind of like, I can't. No, that's not fair. I want to fight him straight on. Grievous could take a lesson from Jaime Lannister when he was a bad guy.
Exactly. I knew exactly the Game of Thrones reference you were going to make. On top of that one. So going forward from that lightsaber fight, that initial one, what were some other favorite action moments for you?
Getting some of the little minor things. I talked about that Obi-Wan, just that shot of the blade, and I just kind of love little moments like that. There's the idea that when Anakin takes that shuttle out of hyperspace, and it's so close, it's part of his dangerous little Anakin plan. It's a great little Star Wars moment. Coming out of hyperspace, always kind of fun. You know, Rogue One does, there's several great moments where ships come out of hyperspace with great effect. And it's just, again, part of the playground, part of the Kenner toys on your floor of doing that, taking a ship out of, it really looks great. It looks cool. For season 2 of Clone Wars, where maybe the budget, the animation was a little different or a little less, it's really good. And I celebrated that one.
Absolutely. The exit it's set up really great with the, like, how close are you going to take us? Like, pretty close. And it's not just coming out of the hyperspace, but that immediate weave and dodge through all the other ships. It's really beautifully done. A great action moment. There's so much great for me in the Obi-Wan fight with Grievous. Great lightsaber stuff. Great, you know, Obi-Wan twirls and flips and parries, and it's great when he takes down the Magna Guard while saying your droids are crap. But my favorite moment is so resourceful, is when Obi-Wan throws the downed Magna Guard with the Force at Grievous.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a great moment. I love that. See, I'm telling you, every once in a while, throw some dirt in some eyes. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it wasn't behind the back or anything. It's, you know, using all the tools in front of you. But it's just, I love that is always a part of the story with Grievous, is he tries to overwhelm the Jedi. He's got all this speed and his physical strength to his body and multiple lightsabers, but he doesn't have the Force. You know, maybe that's part of this hatred of, like, when they get one up on him, it's often because they just, you know, knock his block around using the Force. And I love that that's another moment of this, of using the Force against Grievous.
Yeah. I'm so glad you highlighted that. I mean, I know you're not going to miss a Kenobi moment, but I had a, you know, again, not, does Ken fight dirty? Well, you know, I'll kick a man down if I am isn't winning the goal. I don't know. At least Star Wars tries to teach me lessons on how to fight versus just the fight. It's important for me to see, but it was a great little moment.
Well, yeah, but I think that's really fascinating to think about what is the goal of a fight. And Obi-Wan's goal is, well, A, survive, because he's trying to kill me for sure. And I want to knock him out and capture him. That's my goal.
Yeah.
And then it's, for me, it's like when Grievous is like, I am better than any Jedi after I have my eight friends beat him up first. Like, Obi-Wan is falling through on what his stated goals are, you know, and Grievous is just lying to himself.
Do we need the, much like the Cobra Kai series, do we need the Disney Plus Grievous, his point of view series? Is that what we need? Kind of some comedy mixed in with some, you know, heartfelt moments. I don't know.
I don't think it's going to have a ton of depth to it. I think it's going to be, I'm going to kill those Jedi. What's your goal this week? Killing them.
Oh, okay. All right. End scene.
I live only to see you die is a pretty clear log line. Grievous's pitch in Hollywood would be pretty short. What are some other moments for you of action?
Little ones here. For some reason, one of those weird Ken things here, I guess, I've never loved the commando droids. Even on Battlefront 2. Yeah, even on Battlefront 2, I don't really like, I'm not good at them, and maybe that factors into my dislike, where I'm like, oh, I saved up enough credits to play as a commando, and I'm dead. So I don't know. There's something in the design, the head, I know they're battle droid. Like, I can't explain it. It's just a thing. But I got to tell you, in this episode, great little beats and the flipping and the skipping and the turning and the jumping and the blades. I'm like, okay, I always up for reevaluating opinions I have on Star Wars. We always talk about it's important to grow as a Star Wars fan. It just also might be reappreciating the commando droids.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're so creepy, and maybe I have the opposite, because Battlefront 2, in like some of those big maps where, like, I'm not always the greatest shot, the commando droid being able to rush up to someone with that blade is, you know, creepy and effective,
totally.
Which I don't want to be in person, but on a video game, fine. there's one other Obi-Wan moment when he's trying to go after Grievous in the connecting tunnel between the ships, and it starts to break, and Grievous slides down. And Obi-Wan ignites his blade, partially like, he's coming close to me, so we're going to fight. But it almost feels like, if I could just get a hack in real quick while he slides by, that'd be great.
That whole sequence is great. That whole sequence is terrifying. And talk about a kind of a violent Clone Wars death. Anytime someone falls into space, I get a little itchy. It's a little fear I have. Am I ever going to be in space to fall into it? I don't think so, but I have a fear of it. I love the sequence and a great little moment. Obi-Wan, you know, he's always thinking.
He's always thinking. He's always trying to get a shot in there. Yeah. Last action moment for me is I like it when Cody and the other clones are trying to contain Grievous, and they pile on him, and one of them just punches him in the head.
Yes.
Not terribly effective. Doesn't work out for them. But man, those clones are trying.
Yes.
So that's it for me. Any other action moments for you?
A lot of little ones, but no, we touched on all the big ones that I wanted to highlight.
Okay, well, if you got another one, I mean, please.
No, it's just little pews and little pews there and a pew there and a pew there. A lot of pews everywhere.
There's a lot of pewing in this episode. Yeah. So let's move on then to moments of comedy, whimsy, weirdness. What are some moments that jumped out to you?
You touched on them earlier. Happy to dive into them here. I absolutely love calling Grievous Dooku's errand boy. It is, you know, in this big debate of Poe and the big ass door and what comes into from the real world into Star Wars, Dooku's errand boy seems like something from an 80s comedy. and it works for me. Even Grievous, like, repeating it back. It's one thing for Kenobi to say, but for Grievous to be like, errand boy.
It is literally the name of a 1961 Jerry Lewis movie. So Obi-Wan basically just called him Jerry Lewis.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, that's a great one. The one I wondered if you would enjoy or not, because it is in a vein of kind of things you like, is when the Jedi get that holo video of Grievous, and then almost the entire Jedi Council murmur together, "He's a monster, yeah, monster, monster."
Loved extras being extras. Yeah, that's great stuff.
It's just a moment of great agreement between all the Jedi. Like, that guy is a monster. I like it was great kind of fun banter about Anakin's flying, mm-hmm. And about how close he got with the hyperspace, how close they were going to jump in. And Adi Gallia saying, you know, any closer and we'd be flying through the hallways. Next time, says Anakin, nice and cocky.
Yeah,
it's a fun one to me. And then my last big one is that tactical droid, the very mechanical evil laugh of the ha ha ha.
Yes.
Like, maybe is that programming? Is that evolution of programming of the tactical droid trying to be more like Grievous and the various Sith Lords that the tactical droid might encounter? And then just going into that, you know, very dark physical comedy ballet of kicking around the severed torture arm that has the death button on it.
Yeah.
But all of those moments, in my opinion, are executed incredibly well as comedy. Like, they're mm-hmm. nice surprises where I think Anakin uses the Force to throw the arm into his head before he can pick it up.
Yes.
It's you know, it's one of those kind of like, hey, yeah, this is a bit. And if you've done comedy, the dropped it, can't pick it up, gets kicked around, person, you know, digging around on the floor. This is a standard bit. But this one is super dark and executed really, really well in an animated series.
A comedy often has great tension in it, right? And this is part of it. I actually wrote my notes. I said, okay, I'll bite. I love this sequence, but I trusted you would like it too. It reminds me very much of Indiana Jones and in Club Obi-Wan in Temple of Doom, chasing the antidote around. Just the tension of that. Same kind of feel for me, except for, like I said, a little more ominous.
Yeah, yeah, and then the weird payoff of not having any other available appendage to actually press the button. It was pretty dark stuff. Any other moments of comedy or whimsy or weirdness for you?
No, some great, sad, tragic battle droid moment when Grievous yanks that one out of the escape pod. Just not fair.
And does the battle droid scream why?
It says something like, yeah, something.
One of the classic battle droids lines of why or... So let's move on then to canon and lore and connections to other stories. What do you got in this department?
Scrolling down. Yoda, yes, but so often inaccurate our intelligence is. I just kind of love you highlighted as a great line, but just this ongoing struggle to figure out what's going on. And even the fact that Yoda is, of all of us, just like so close. It's all right there. There's that. Minor thing. It's a shot, but the shot of Yularen, there's a shot looking up him that matches Nita in Empire Strikes Back. And I love anytime you kind of show Yularen or anyone else on the Republic Star Destroyers in the same vein as Imperial officers. It's always one me. Yes, I love my Imperial officers, oddly enough, but just to a little ominous, a little feeling of look out of what's coming.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's so great. I did not pick up on that particular shot, but I totally agree with you with that. Yeah, the Republic, the heroes, but we know this look, this aesthetic, this bridge from somewhere else. For me, as you noted, the confirmation in our journey that Kenobi has absolutely seen Grievous with all four arms out before Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
How does that make you feel? Because we talked about this before you know, the so many things, I think, end up emotionally lining up extremely well with the Clone Wars animated series to Revenge of the Sith and greatly enrich Revenge of the Sith. But this moment with Grievous in Revenge of the Sith, where he reminds Kenobi that he's been trained in the Jedi arts and unveils his four arms. Now, it does really, I enjoy it in my headcanon, is Grievous being extremely repetitive and just really not having a lot of new things to say.
Look, I suffer from that. I talk on so many shows every week, as we all do in this industry. Sometimes you forget where you tell your stories, and it's like, yes, Uncle Ken, we've heard that. You have four arms. I get it. So I sympathize with Grievous, all right? But I actually put this in my disliked or question, because this just reveals that episode 3 is a lie. I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to do an angry rant video here. No, we've been tracking it, and I, you know, there's so many episodes and moments of the Clone Wars, seven whole seasons now, right? Kind of whole, quotations around that word, I guess, for season six. I forgot a lot of this, and I did want to track it. And so when I saw this, I kind of went, well, all right, there we go. Doesn't take anything away. Look, the movie is the movie, and you got to, you didn't know this was coming. But it's, I like your headcanon version of it. I'll accept that.
Yeah. Like, the Kenobi's not surprised. Like, yes, I'm very aware. You've been, mm-hmm. We've talked about this before. We've done the theater of the arms before. Let's just get to it.
Yeah.
I also had fun, just writing down who all in this episode eventually kills one another.
Since it ends
on that moment.
Mm-hmm.
We all lived. So great stuff. If people haven't read them in the Vader comics with Eeth Koth, spoiler, it doesn't go well for Eeth Koth. Of course, we know that Grievous is eventually killed by Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan is, of course, killed by Vader, moves on to the Force. Cody tries to kill Obi-Wan. And eventually in the Clone Wars, when Adi Gallia goes, she's near Obi-Wan when she's killed.
this is like Clue. It's just like putting it all together.
It is like future Clue of like who's going to kill who, where, and when, and with what. Usually a lightsaber.
Yeah,
sometimes a blast to the heart sack.
Why are we all at this dinner? Why were we invited? Yeah.
How does that make you feel? Like, you know, the Clone Wars does walk this balance of we are spending time with Obi-Wan, who I would argue is a flawed hero. We're spending time with Anakin Skywalker in moments where he is a hero. He is the good man that Obi-Wan tells Luke his father was. Ahsoka is a pretty pure hero. There, Cody and Rex, poor Cody gets Order 66. So we're spending a lot of time with heroes that we can really celebrate the lessons they learned, the people they saved, the good things they did. But it does always have this shadow over it. How do you feel about it?
Well, so there's one point where Anakin says it's time someone put an end to that monster. And then he's looking up at this cyborg who's, half organic, half mostly mechanical. And I'm just like, hey, put a pin on that one, Annie. Like, be careful there, buddy. There's a great Noah and the Whale song, 5 years' time. 5 years' time, we could be running around the zoo, or 5 years' time, we might not even know each other anymore. And it does. I'm very glad you tracked it. It's a fun little canon checklist, and it's a fun little beat, but it's also kind of true of just like these journeys you don't really know, and you don't know where they're going, and live in the moment, be present in the moment, very Jedi kind of philosophy. But I like the twists and turns, and there's tragedy to them. And knowing that you got this show and you know what you're building to. And I understand sometimes that can make stories, Cassian Andor. Well, we know he dies. Yes, we do. The third Padme book. We know she's going to die. How you get there is so important in storytelling, and you can still learn so much. I do want to have open ending story where I don't know. Of course I do. But I love just those kind of character studies. And the Clone Wars is this character study of the war and the people in it and what happens to them. So it's good to highlight, and it's tragic.
Yeah. And I think you can sit back and enjoy these episodes as this was a moment in time where these heroes were being heroic, but it is also this larger story of the great tragedy of this war. And all of these deaths that will eventually come for these characters are, brought about by, in many ways, the events and the choices of this war. So it does feel, appropriate.
Choices, man. Choices.
Choices.
You're so right. Choices. All about choices.
Choice is real important. Another thing for me, I like this call forward line of Grievous saying, so Kenobi, is everything going as planned? And Obi-Wan saying, that depends on your point of view, General. And I can see some people going like, yeah, Obi-Wan said the point of view thing. Mm. But for me, that idea gets introduced very fully in Return of the Jedi, right? Is a big piece of philosophy, also is a way to kind of explain the evolving story. And I think it goes on to become like one of the central key themes of Star Wars. So I personally really like layering it into Obi-Wan of like, yeah, that's really how he thinks about things. That's, that's why he is curious about both friends and enemies. He wants to understand where they're coming from. So I think ideally he could, respect them, bond with them, learn from them, or if necessary, defeat them.
Yeah. Yeah. We just did the discussion on the main show this week of Leia and that big giant moment in New Hope of her putting the blanket over Luke while he pouts over losing Obi-Wan, which is sad, but she's lost a whole planet. And those, you know, you and I talk long about oversight or, you know, George failing to write the character, that all these kind of big things. But I just love when Star Wars goes to that and go, okay, you know, Ghost Obi-Wan sits on a log and talks about his lie, which also kind of came out of a real world George switching the story. How can we build back to that? I love analyzing when you can just kind of go back to these moments and make it part of the character, make it not just make it work like you're putting a Band-Aid, but just it's real. It's a character. And I love when it's not just cheesy to me when Obi-Wan says it, particularly in this one. This one's a particularly good one because I missed it the first time and I had to go back the second time. I was like, oh, God, he just threw that in there.
Yeah, he just Obi-Wan said the thing. Yeah, like a gif from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood with the pointing at the screen. He said it. Kenobi said it. Yeah, and I also feel like this episode for me really is so much about point of view that Kenobi and Grievous really think they know one another's point of view, and they are pretty accurate about leading with compassion, leading with hate, and thinking that knowing that about one another will make them victorious, and neither of them, you know, have a clear victory.
Yeah.
I also just noted your plans have come to ruination, Jedi, because that is, I believe, either that or something very close to it is a line that Grievous says in Battlefront 2, because I heard that line and I got like defensive. I felt like I was about to be attacked. I was like, oh, it's because that's one of the lines that Grievous says when he's attacking me in Battlefront 2.
Love that.
I got one more in the canon lore.
Yeah.
And that is the great endless pronunciation battle of Star Wars, where a Star Wars planet is said two ways. We got Obi-Wan Kenobi, I believe, saying it in the more accepted version of Salukamai, but then Yularen says Salakamai.
Yes. yes. So I number one, just kind of stumble over my words every once in a while, and I don't think I'm dyslexic, but my aunt was and struggled with it for years. But sometimes I just flip. I just have little moments of it.
We all do.
But yeah, if you listen to me long enough, and if you remember at the Star Wars Celebration last year, I wrote this trivia question, and I still struggle to say Salukamai. And this episode, when I watched it, I was like, well, this might be probably one of the reasons I struggle with it.
Yeah, Lauren says it so confidently, like, yeah. Yes, we're over Salakamai. I love that it continues to be a thing in Star Wars about pronunciation, even down to like Ian McDiarmid comes into his studio for Rebels and Ashoka, and like, cool, that's what you want to do, Ian? Fine.
That's
awesome. Ashoka, go for it.
I'm still in High Republic, Markion Roe or Marcion Roe. Charles Soule has in many interviews and on the High Republic show, everyone on that show on the YouTube show, it says Markion, but now they released a YouTube video where it's Marcion.
And I believe we got a question we'll be getting to for the main show about all the pronunciation. And I believe that person said in the audiobook of Light of the Jedi, it's Marcion throughout too. So this is a battle that will never be resolved. Salukamai is close to my heart because it's just such a weird Star Wars name. And then I think it's a fun Force Center memory because that question at Star Wars Celebration, you pronounced it more like Yularen, and many people in the audience yelled, it's Salukamai.
Yeah.
Which was some great Star Wars intensity, but that was the question that made me win.
It was, wasn't it? Yes.
Yes.
That's a different discussion. It's random when the questions come up, and I'm not a ringer, and I wasn't feeding you, but I wrote a lot of those questions, and I remember thinking, Scrimshaw's got this one.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the things that I feel like I know a little bit better is some of the Jedi stuff, because I just love all the Jedi. So it was, you know, that moment in a trivia contest where, you know, you've heard the question, and you know the answer, but then there's some other business that's going on.
Yes.
Not about you.
Yes.
And you can just, wait and go like, okay, I'll wait for that to clear up. And then I get to say the thing that I know, which is it's fun to say things you know. A lot of great Star Wars trivia going on. There are a lot of people who are very good at Star Wars mm-hmm. trivia out there, including, I think, many of our listeners. Anything else in sort of canon lore connections?
Well, unless you're slipping this into another part of the conversation, I do want to. This is the debut of Tara Snubay.
I think that I missed Tara, which I just feel so ashamed about because I've been daydreaming about very soon we get to watch Lightsaber Lost, Tara Sinube's yep. big day in the sun. He's at the Jedi meeting, right?
He is, and he's kind of the back. You have to kind of do a little bit of look for it, a little freeze frame, but when they take out the younglings, he's walking away with the cane and in doing some of the episode guide research. Oh, there's a lot of new designs in this episode, and he's one of them. There's like Weequay Jedi, and they kind of run through the list. Some of them have names and whatnot, but Tara Sinube, this is his debut.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you for highlighting that, because Tara is one of my very favorites, and I feel like I let him down. I was too busy looking at the younglings.
Younglings are good, too.
not as good as Tara Sinube, yeah. So. I'm going to go back when we're done recording and I'm going to rewatch that scene so I can enjoy his first appearance. We always like to talk about things we disliked or questioned. And you said that the Grievous Forearms was in there for you.
Yeah. I mean, again, tongue in cheek. Sure. But also at the same time, they do such a good job of tracking everything in Star Wars in this kind of way. I always go to Rogue One where like, well, Wedge can't be there. Wedge just had his day off because he doesn't see the Death Star, all these kind of things. They're so good at it that when this popped up, I was just a little bit like, you know, you didn't necessarily need to have his forearms show up here and you could have waited, but all right. Okay.
Yeah. It just makes that Revenge of the Sith scene richer for me in its own weird way. I think for me, I also, the only thing that I disliked your question was like right on the edge of like, maybe not. Our conversation makes me feel better about it. I really like how much attention is paid to Grievous's motivation. Mm-hmm. But there's a part of me that almost wants like that one more line from Obi-Wan that just kind of pokes at how empty it is, you know, that mm-hmm. Grievous's motivation is to kill Jedi. Great. But there's just that kind of that one step, that one layer left of, is there some history between this Kalish warrior and Jedi, or is it that he has just been given this sort of empty target and goal and been spoon fed by Sidious, which, you know, again, you can pick up on that since he's literally told that by Dooku of Sidious wants more dead Jedi from you. Mm. And that's why you're being your home is being violated and you're being attacked because you're supposed to be killing more Jedi. So there's a part of me that thinks this is elegant the way it is. Lets people wonder, lets people have discussions. But there's also a part of me of like, maybe just one more line from Obi-Wan poking at him of like, is that really what your motivation is? Would have made the question more apparent.
I think that's really fair. And I never thought I'd say this. It's time to call for more Grievous storytelling.
More Grievous. We need at least four arms worth of Grievous at all times. And it's very fun when we go through these episodes. And I think it is always important to say, was there anything we disliked or questioned? And so often it is truly in the questioned and truly in the like, oh, maybe they could have taken this idea a step farther. Maybe not. It's a tribute to, I think, how much I really love the Clone Wars and how great these episodes are that my dislikes and questions are almost always like a maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe this, maybe that. Yeah. Well, I'm sure someday we'll get to something like, nope, that was not for me, period.
Well, I'm sure. But it's just a testament to that kind of force center approach of even if you have a dislike, you engage with it and you try to find out what's there. And often you can get to a place of at least comfort with it. And that's part of what we do.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, our conversation about Grievous's motivations opened up even more different ways to think about it and made me feel better about that thing that I questioned. Anything else that we have not talked about that you wanted to touch on?
Two things. I think we'll have more chance to discuss her in other episodes, but Adi Gallia is a really underrated Jedi. I think it's a great moment with Kenobi. And she comes from a real good spot there and a real great heart. So we'll highlight that wonderful Jedi more, I'm sure, and unfortunately, for some of the events to come. I know you share an appreciation of Adi Gallia as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, that was one of the other things that was interesting to me about this episode of, you know, Eeth Koth and Adi Gallia are both, you know, these Jedi that have these kind of tortured backstories where different actors came in and for a while they were the same character and then they got split into, you know, no, it's Eeth Koth and Agent Kohler, different characters. It's Adi Gallia and Stas Ali, who dies on Sulukumai, who are different characters. So this was fun, especially, you know, having, for myself, having a better understanding of Filoni, obviously being a pro, that's why he got hired, but also being just a, like, yeah, I dress up as Plo Koon on the weekends level nerd for Jedi, that he would be like, yeah, the two Jedi that kind of changed but didn't, but then did ultimately change, I want them in an episode together.
So I'm glad you mentioned it, because this goes into Ken watches the featurettes update, and I watch them so you all don't have to. And actually, I suggest you all do if you have time. And first of all, the season two ones are great, because I'm sure they shoot them all in one day with Filoni. This is back in 2010. I think he's got that let's get this over with energy in a lot of them and might be a slightly drunk. Like, he's a different. He's Dave. The Dave we know and love, but he's real sassy, and all through these featurettes in this particular season. So it comes to this one. I'm glad you touched on it. This is I'm not going to go too long on this. Yeah. So a different actor in episode one, and then they get to hire a local guy from Australia in episode two, and it's supposed to be Master Koth. Then they kind of realize it's so different, so they create a Agent Kohler like you're talking about here. So Filoni, being the cosplayer on the weekend, literally wants him. So he goes to, and they talk, and they actually do some cut to some fun clips of Leland Chi and Pablo Hidalgo. And Filoni goes to Leland Chi, and Leland Chi brings up and goes, no, he's Eeth Koth is dead. Pablo Hidalgo looks at him and goes, yep, I got a source book here. Yep, he died on Geonosia in that battle, crashed. It's listed here. Dave goes to George and goes, can I have Eeth Koth for this episode? He's dead. And George goes, yeah, fine, take him. George doesn't care. What's best for the story? It's a little bit of me pounding my fist on my shoe on a desk. I'm Khrushchev, but just like, you know, like
from Khrushchev to closing time, the references of this episode of Clone Wars.
Yeah. By the way, I'm launching a show on GPA called Internet for Old People, which is really just a half hour for me to make references that no one gets anymore. But yeah, no, you know what I mean? Like, I don't mean to just dwell on it too much, but just, you know, obviously you're not going to do a giant change, but if like you didn't see it on screen, we can, and it serves purpose. And then they were maybe going to kill him in this episode, and Dave keeps him alive there, which goes in that comic moment you talked about. You all checked out that Darth Vader, Lord of the Sith series. I just love hearing that kind of stuff. All your talks about plans, and plans are good and all, but like write in pencil, because you got stories to tell. I think it's a little, this episode also has that in there for me too.
Yeah, no, this was one of the featurettes that I did make time to watch. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you shared it and brought it up, because everything you're saying is true. Mm-hmm. And the story is told in a really fun, bouncy way.
Yes, yes.
But I do think it is, I will pound a shoe with you that it is really a reminder that this is where it flows from with George Lucas, of we are in this modern era where I think Lucasfilm is making an effort to be like, yeah, no, we're going to try to stay close to canon. But there is, in this great spirit of creativity, there's this great spirit of let go of like, yeah, we're never going to say, you know, actually Han died in Empire Strikes Back. Nobody's ever going to do that. Yeah. But if some detail is buried in, you know, role-playing source book because somebody thought it was fun to answer where this character ended up, but it comes around to like, no, wait a minute, we've got a great story we want to tell with this character, that there is that spirit, I think, of being more organic than rigid, and say, sure, yes, Eeth Koth can be alive. Yes, you know, is it a beautiful, beautiful, meaningful moment between Anakin and Ahsoka on screen that her lightsabers are blue? Then fine, they're blue now, you know.
Yeah,
it is great to see that it is a spirit that emanates from Lucas and was passed on to his Padawan and is alive today.
And since you watch this featurette, do you agree Davis seems drunk?
I'm not going to go on record, but I'll agree with Sassy. There's definitely it definitely has a sense of we are having a sense of play and sense of fun, you know?
Yep. That is the legally responsible answer there, sir.
Yeah, well, it is just, you know, not that there isn't still a ton of fun in the behind the scenes, but I think it's good to see, because I think it is encouraging. Like, let's loosen up and have fun with our space story, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes I think there is a concern to not, you know, let's not be too loosey goosey.
Yeah.
But great, great stuff in the featurette. Soon we'll do a separate episode about the featurettes, but I love that you watch them. There's so much great stuff in them, and I'm trying to make sure that I make time for it as well. The only other thing that I wanted to touch on was just another awesome shot. I have made the joke many times that if you like ships landing, Clone Wars will never let you down. You know, I think it is really a part of that cinematic element that's important to George, of like, he likes to watch ships all the way take off and all the way land, and like, show me them landing gears. But there's I love the weird Jedi shuttle has basically the Imperial shuttle kind of wing shape, but then that kind of globed orbed front, obviously much smaller Jedi shuttle, very cool. But it's got just like a super awesome landing, the way it slides into the bay, and then those landing gears come down, and there's just no way those landing gears would make it stable without the ramp coming down, and it's just it's so Star Wars-y. I love it.
And taken from the trivia gallery there, this is not knowledge I had. It's a Joe Johnston design for what ended up being the shuttle Tiderium.
That's so great.
Yeah, it's so, you're 100% right, it's so Star Wars-y, because it's like that's Joe Johnston, man.
Good old Joe Johnston. Need to sing that prison's praises as well for their Star Wars contributions.
Yeah.
If you could have an action figure of any character from this episode, who do you want?
We got a playset, sir. It's coming your way. It's the Emotionally Shield the Younglings playset. with Terra Sanube. Yeah.
Yeah. And then is it like, you know, I don't know if you had the Dagobah playset back in the day where you could put Vader and Luke on the little tracks and they could kind of go in and out of the cave.
Yeah.
You do that with it's Ahsoka, right? Who's leading the younglings out.
Right. Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. You get a bonus Ahsoka figure, a Terra Sanube with a quiet walk action. And you get the Weequay Jedi, all of them. Yeah, then you can move them away as they gasp in fear.
That is great. I would take a tactical droid with a severed torture arm. It's dark, but I would take that.
Yeah.
So next up, we are talking about season 2, episode 10, The Deserter. It does continue Obi-Wan Kenobi's pursuit of General Grievous, but as the title itself lets us know, its focus is really on a deserter from the clone army. I'm really, really excited to rewatch this one. I always remember liking it and being intrigued by it and thinking it's a great different approach on the clones and their role in the war, but I'm excited to dig into it all the way with you, Ken.
Yeah.
What do you think the moral of this episode of our podcast should be?
Oh man, I went probably a little dark and a little meta. I apologize. There are steps to becoming the biggest Star Wars podcast in the galaxy, but what do we have to leave behind to get there?
Definitely meta, and definitely a little sassy, a little 2010 behind the scenes Dave Filoni sassy from you today. That's great.
Yeah,
great.
There you go.
That is just about it. But first, of course, we always want to let you know where you can find us.
You can indeed find us on the internet at Force Center Pod on Twitter. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. We've been rebroadcasting some episodes there, audio only, but a lot of people love listening to the shows over there. Not every one of the episodes goes up, but you can subscribe over there. And as always, we always threaten more YouTube content on the way. You can like our Facebook page at Force Center Podcast. You can get merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center, or you can support us directly a couple different ways. You can use the Audible trial, audibletrial.com/Force Center web address and get an audio book on us, and that supports the show. Or you can support us at patreon.com/Force Center. I am at Ken Napsok or kennapsok.com. From there, you can also link to my new endeavor, the GPA, the Good People Association at the GPA.fun. And I am starting a show, Internet for Old People. Joseph, You and your beard will be invited shortly.
I will be honored to come on. I was just thinking the other day about when I was a little kid, and I would get to stay up late and watch Johnny Carson, and I would really enjoy some of the comedians. Then some of the comedians would come on and just be like, I know what you're saying is funny because I can hear people laughing, but I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, I am 8. I don't know who Shecky Green is. Come on. What's going on?
There's a reference.
So I'm looking forward to coming full circle and checking out your show there. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out all of my other comedy adventures on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for all 4 of General Grievous's arms, this has been the Clone Wars Report.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.